Now we're going to go turn to the departure of the Green Party leader, Eamon Ryan, first. And Sarah, you can fill us in maybe on why Eamon Ryan has taken the decision to step down and why the person who at the last time of asking contended to be Green Party leader, Catherine Martin, has decided not to join the fray to be Green Party leader this time round.
Yeah, so he very much stressed personal reasons this afternoon in his announcement at government buildings. He said he wanted to focus on family life, that politics had become too demanding, too divisive, and also spoke about vile attacks on social media. He spoke a bit about, you know, his wife and his children and made particular reference to his son who has additional needs and said he couldn't continue to work the long hours that being a public rep involved. And he said he'd made the decision many months ago and, you know, that he wouldn't stand in the next general election due to these commitments at home. I think that maybe the impact or the local and the European results might have played into that a little bit. Obviously, they lost their two MEPs in Dublin and Ireland South. We had in the local elections then, they lost half their seats, but they did pretty well in the city. I suppose then as well, Catherine Martin was the front runner initially. People saw her as a favourite to replace him, but then she put out her own statement and said that she wouldn't be taking part in a leadership contest and she would be running in the next general election, but she would step down as deputy party leader.
All right. If he planned to step down and wanted the time to hand over, I suppose increasing speculation about an earlier general election on foot of the by-elections might have also dictated maybe his timetable on the decision.
Yeah, that's what he was saying, you know, that he would give whoever the party leader, the next party leader would be, that amount of time, you know, to get ready for whenever the next general election would be.
All right. We're joined on the line by Stephen Matthews, Green Party TD for Wicklow as well. Good evening to you, Stephen Matthews.
Good evening, Colm.
You weren't surprised by this. You knew in advance, did you?
Yeah, I wasn't surprised by it. There was a few of us knew for quite some time this day was coming. I didn't have the exact date and time of it, but we were pretty sure of when it was going to be, and that day has finally come. Absolutely nothing to do with the election results whatsoever. This is something that Eamon had made up his mind on a couple of months back, and he's taken that action today.
Right, and back then, what reasons did he give? Were they the same ones he outlined today, and were you surprised at the time?
Absolutely. I mean, look at his track record. He's had really like 30, 35 years of activism and leadership, you know, across two governments now, rebuilt this party when we were absolutely, you know, when we nobody returned. And he always did that in a very respectful, considerate and generous manner to everyone, even if they agreed or didn't disagree with him. You know, he just treated people well and fiercely intelligent as well. Like, he's one of the best performers I've ever seen in front of a committee. I've never seen anyone better on transport or energy or climate or environment or anything you'd throw at him at all. He was just a very good communicator as well. But I think at the core of it, he was just a very, very decent, hard-working politician and a very good man.
All right. Do you mind me asking then if, you know, given his previous experience of being in government, for maybe people who are first time round in government this time and the pressure was on various decisions, what his role was in terms of steadying the ship?
Yeah, I mean, we do have good depth of experience within our cabinet and amongst our party going back all of those years. I've been in the party for about 22 years now. And if you look across this 33rd Dáil that we're in at the moment, within 100 days of being Minister for Climate, he had introduced the Climate Act. We'd introduced the greenest programme for government ever. And then just yesterday, himself and Malcolm Noonan saved nature. They saved the Nature Restoration Law in Europe. So, I mean, his work is across a whole spectrum of areas. There's massive respect for him in there. I know there was some sort of nasty comments today, but I think Eamon's just become used to that. But I think in general, across the political spectrum, across society, there was a respect for what he's done and what he's always been committed to over the last 30 years and what he's done for the Green Party.
And what about the next steps? Leadership? Will you be throwing your own hat in the ring?
I will not be throwing my hat in the ring. I can tell you that tonight.
Are you backing anyone who is rumoured to be throwing their hat in the ring? Would you have a candidate you'd favour at this stage?
Well, look, today was about Eamon and his decision. And I do expect tomorrow we will probably see candidates declare.
Right, we're after the watershed. It's almost midnight. You could get away with treating this as tomorrow.
Well, look, the phone calls are being made, okay, and I think it would be respectful to the people who are going to run, who have indicated that they're going to run, to let them come out tomorrow. But we're
so it's people and phone calls, plural. So there will be an election.
Well, we've one member, one vote. We're a very democratic party. We'll select a leader, and we continue to lead, not just on climate and environment and all those things. People know what we do. We'll deliver that childcare cut, the more buses and trains, and investing in public places. All of those green priorities, and I've no doubt whatever leader we select across our membership will be a leader that will lead since the next general election.
All right, they have a max of what, around 8-9 months, because there has to be another election after the general election according to Green Party rules, isn't that the case?
So 6 months after the general election, we can have a leadership competition. It may not necessarily happen if nobody was, you know, if we were to stay with the same leader and deputy leader that we'd select over the coming weeks, that may not need to happen.
But there has to be the formality of a competition nonetheless. Is that the case?
Yeah.
Under whatever Article 574 mm-hmm. of your constitution.
I'll take your word for that, Colm. Yeah.
That's the benefit of having a researcher put that in front of mm-hmm. me. And so when will we see a new leader of the Green Party? Are you talking July?
Yeah, I think it'll probably, in reality, it'll take maybe 2 weeks, maybe a little bit longer. We do a postal vote, I think, amongst our members to make sure everybody can participate in it, like we had done during the leadership competition back in 2020. So I think it's good for the party. I think it's good for us to go out. We don't have that weighted system like other parties have, you know, so if you've got the whole parliamentary party behind you, you have it in the bag. We actually go out, each member, one vote, and it's worked for us in the past. You know, we've had good leaders. We've had Eamon, who's been there for 13 years, John Gorman before that, and Trevor Sargent. So our system works, and I trust in the members to select the right leader and deputy leader.
Okay, Stephen Matthews, Green Party TD for Wicklow. Thanks very much for joining us on the line. Now we're going to go back to our panel, who I said are Alan Farrell, Fine Gael TD for Dublin Fingal, Chair of the Parliamentary Party, Donach O'Leary, Sinn Féin TD for Cork South Central, and his party spokesperson on social protection, Michael Fitzmaurice, Independent TD for Roscommon Galway, and Sarah Burns, reporter with the Irish Times. Alan Farrell, Eamon Ryan's departure, what do you make of it?
Yeah, I was surprised, of course. While they might have known in the Green Party, they didn't know in the Fine Gael Party. I mean, it's obviously, unfortunately, a familiar story, I hate to say, in terms of what he said and his reasons why. Unfortunately, I've heard that a lot in the last number of years. I'm particularly thinking of Brendan Griffin, whom I had a cup of tea with this evening, you know, who is a young man, or relatively young man, as Eamon is. You know, with a potentially long career ahead of him, who's chosen to bow out a little early. And I think that's, you know, it's disappointing to the body politic. And in general, I would be of the view that, you know, it's difficult enough to attract good people into politics. And with the exception of the pageantry of the Dáil, there wasn't a bad word said about Eamon in Leinster House today that I witnessed. And, you know, that is, I suppose, a testament to the individual. I worked with him on a number of different projects, one of them being scooters, being a big thing, important thing for me. We got that over the line earlier this year. You know, there's Metro, there's Dart Plus in my constituency. There's a number of other projects that, you know, I have to say Eamon has been instrumental in delivering. So I don't have anything negative to say about the man, other than it's a disappointment for the body politic to lose somebody like that.
And do you think your party colleague and election candidate for the European Parliament, Regina Doherty, perhaps soured the mood somewhat between Fine Gael and the Green Party when she talked about cycle lanes in the constituency dividing Dublin like Cold War Berlin?
No, I don't think so. I'll be honest and say that a lot of things get said during elections. My honest view, it certainly hasn't damaged any relationships that I have with colleagues in the Green Party. You know, I'm on the Climate Action Committee. I work with Brian Leddon, Pauline O'Reilly very well, two very good people. You know, I've been working with others, including Stephen Matthews, on some mutual interest matters in regards to Dublin Airport. So, you know, there's good relationships there. I think things get said during elections. That's just the nature of the beast.
Okay. Michael Fitzmaurice, you had your policy differences with Eamon Ryan, but what would you say of Eamon Ryan's departure as a party leader, Eamon Ryan, the man?
Well, first of all, I got to know Eamon well. from 2016 to 2020. I think you have to separate, as what we'd call it, the man from the ball. As a person to talk to, look, I was sitting beside him for, I think, 4 years, and Catherine Martin as well. We had a many a long, detailed conversation. And look, on a personal, you know, to talk to Eamon Ryan, you know, I wish him well. But, and also, you know, he was a very, you know, kind-spoken person. But on the policy side of it, it would be black and white. We would be totally different. And he would have, you know, got a lot of stick from rural Ireland because of things he said, like wolves and one person having or one care for 30 people, and farmers, and that he would have got a lot of people that would not appreciate some of the things in politics. Look, he had to go at turf cutters for a while. We got that resolved. He wasn't supportive of road programmes or road stuff. Look at the nature restoration. Oh, we all know there's a difference there.
And we'll be having a chat about that later on in DJ.
I'm just talking about the different things. And, you know, the one thing that I didn't appreciate, and I'll be very clear on this, Jackie Cahill is chair of our Ag Committee. The horticulture sector was in real trouble. We were importing peat from other countries, and it was cat and mouse in relation to trying to get him into a committee, where he said he'd go in if Charlie could go in and if another minister could go in, Dara O'Brien, and we were going round in circles and we ended up with none of them in. Right. So I don't appreciate that part. But on the political side.
Did your personal relationship that you established in 2016 survive all of those policy differences? Did you ever bump into him in the corridor and strike up a chat with him?
Look, it's as simple as this, and all politicians, every one of them, Ellen and everybody that's there with you, we have to be able to argue our point. We have our beliefs. They may be totally different, but you cannot go around the Dáil or round Leinster House or anywhere for that matter and be basically not talking to someone. Or you have to be always able to speak to someone and show respect towards everyone, because they're an elected member of the Dáil. Right. And if they're a minister, they're elected. So, like, you're not going to be going around swinging your arms at someone because they don't agree with you. You have to be able to argue your point, put your point forward, try and lobby as much as you can. And after that, if it works out, great. If it doesn't, you okay. Kind of go around basically not talking, or you'd end up talking to no one, to be quite frank.
Right, okay. Donagh O'Leary, what's your view of Eamon Ryan's departure? Surprised by it, first of all, no doubt.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I certainly agree with Michael's point there. You could easily end up not talking to anyone at all. Look, I mean, I suppose, you know, sometimes with these conversations, like, there's an element to which the media asks you if you're reaction in your evaluation, and there's no escaping for me. I'm a member of the largest opposition party, and we have a clear critique of this government, and Eamon Ryan is a part of that government, and we would have very strong criticisms, as you will know, in terms of what they have delivered in terms of housing, or what they failed to deliver in terms of housing or of healthcare. Notwithstanding that, like, I mean, I have to say, any of the dialogue that I've ever had with him, he's a very courteous man, he's a very friendly man. He has, just through his family connections to Cork, he was always very interested in anything I brought to him in terms of my constituency. He was always very willing to listen. Look, it's a surprise. I know there's probably reflections on the Green Party's performance in the local elections. I'd be inclined to take him at his word if he's saying that there is family considerations. I respect any man that puts his family first. Look, to be honest, it's something I reflect on a lot, and I'm sure I'm far from alone in that. Like, as much as, you know, whatever politicians might grumble about our job, very often it's our families pay the highest price, and it's it can be very, very difficult for them. So, look, I have great respect for him for putting his family first, if that's what is required in the circumstances.
Okay, thanks for that.